and welcome to Better Done Than Perfect, a podcast for SaaS founders and product people. Our awesome guest today is Cassidy Williams, developer and content creator, and we're going to talk about live streaming today. This show is brought to you by UserList, the best way for SaaS founders to send onboarding emails, segment your users based on events, and see where your customers get stuck in the product. Start your free trial today at userlist.com. Hey, Cassidy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We're very excited to learn from you. You've been like a goddess of streaming, you know, in my book. So.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that, but I'll take it.
For our listeners who don't know you, could you tell us your background story, what you do, and why streaming plays such an important part in your life?
Sure, yeah. And so I am a developer first. I majored in computer science, have mostly done software engineering and developer advocacy roles. But a lot of the other stuff that I do has mostly been to try to give back to the dev community in some way. And so whether it be streaming or writing my newsletter or making jokes on the internet about tech and stuff, I try to provide as many fun resources, but also more serious ones like tutorials and guides and everything for people to do the best they can in the tech industry and try to give pointers to people that I wish I had when I was first getting into it.
And how long have you been actually live streaming?
So consistently, I've been consistently live streaming for about a year and a half, but I've streamed in general for much longer, where I think I first started doing more regular live streams probably in 2017, 2018 or so. Around then, I was streaming with my sister, actually, and she's a developer as well, and she currently works at Facebook, or I guess Meta is the name of it now.
Oh,
I know. But anyway, she and I, we both used to work for Amazon and we live streamed for them and we worked on the Alexa SDK. So we did live streams to show how to work with the Alexa SDK and stuff.
Whoa, that goes back.
I know. Really? Yeah, it really does. And so that was a really fun time. And I really enjoyed doing that with her, but we both left the company at different times. And so that was when I first started to stream a bit more consistently and planned out. And then I did a few one-off streams here and there where it was mostly just kind of me saying, hey, check out my 3D print thing or this Lego set that I'm building. And then about a year and a half ago, I decided to get much more consistent with my streaming, mostly in the pandemic. And I decided, okay, I'm going to try teaching coding a bit more while streaming and then also just try to have a stream where I can give advice to people and hang out with people just out in the community.
Compared to other developers out there, you have an amazing personal brand. And I don't know it that well, so I can't really decompose it. If you could tell me, like, what do you think the secret sauce is? So one of them is being so open and in particularly with streaming, but what are the other components of your brand as you see it?
So when I tell people about personal branding, I think a big part of it is, yes, knowing what you like and what you want to put out there, but also knowing what you don't like and what you're not good at, I think is just as important. And there have been definite times where I'm just like, oh, maybe I could take this on. It might look good on my resume or things like that. And that has only led to regret because it's not something that I actually like to do. It's just something that I feel like I should do. And so when it comes to my own brand, it's weird to talk about. I feel like I try to be just kind of goofy and show the fun side of tech and show like how you can make incredibly practical things by understanding how to do them in silly and fun ways. And so I try to build things and do fun things and then try to bring that back to real world applications where I can say, okay, yes, I made this very silly thing that lets you prank people, but imagine if you used this type of technology in a different way and try to explain it in a more serious way as well. And so just kind of trying to bring lightheartedness to this very serious industry of ours.
So interesting, because you're probably the exact opposite of me, for example. And I've tried to be, you know, among all things, I like to be boring and pragmatic and just build some really like boring and useful stuff that looks good, but is not playful, not exciting, probably black and white, you know.
The thing is, we need that though, because sometimes there's a lot of, like fluff in the world, and you're just like, no, this is what people need, and this is how we need to solve it. And so I think there's definitely a world where we need both.
So going back to live streaming, imagine there's somebody listening to us who does not have a clue like what format that is, and that includes like you sitting in front of a camera for several hours or something, doing something. How do you do this? What's the format? And let's dive into the details afterwards.
Yeah. And so I am not a very formal streamer, I'll admit. I know some people who are really, really amazing at streaming who have a much better workflow than I do. And so you're about to hear kind of the hacky way of doing a live stream. And so typically when you have some kind of stream, you have your channel where you can set up links or whatever that people can click on, but otherwise it might just be you and a camera. And then there's going to be a chat where people can chat with you while you're streaming. And sometimes people will just be sitting there lurking. Sometimes they will be talking to you while you're streaming. And in that, you're going to talk back to them and you're going to interact with the chat while you do your regularly scheduled programming. And so, for example, one of my teammates, he has a show called Learn with Jason. You can look it up. Like, I think it's learnwithjason.com. And he has a regular show every Tuesday and Thursday where you learn something with Jason. He has a guest. It's like an actual TV show where you can watch this actual program of them live coding something together. And then sometimes you can interact with the chat to be just like, hey, what do you all think about this? And then continue on with the program. And then mine is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum where I don't have any formal programming whatsoever on my stream, but it's more just me saying, hey, let's co-work together. And so I'll turn on my camera, turn on my lights, and just start chatting, saying, hey, how was your week? This is what I'm working on. And people in the chat will start chatting back, and I'll just kind of hang out with them and start chatting and telling stories and hopefully answer their questions, because a lot of times people come in asking questions about the tech industry or how to get a certain job here and there, about books they should read, that sort of thing. And then sometimes it kind of depends on the week and what I'm feeling, but sometimes I'll add like a coding element too, where I'll say, okay, well, I had a lot of questions about React this week, so let me explain how this part of React works. And I'll pull up my code editor and just start teaching something on the stream. And so again, mine isn't very formal. It's kind of me just chatting with people, but that's generally how it goes. And then when you want to end it, you just say, okay, well, I'm tired. I'll see y'all next week. And you hang up and you can raid another channel and bring all of your viewers to watch another person's stream. It's a fascinating world, because amongst streamers, like, you kind of get to know each other because you'll raid each other's streams. That's the term for it, where you end your stream and then bring all of your viewers to someone else's channel. And so,
it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah, it's like an etiquette thing. And so there are some people where they've raided my channel and I'm just like, oh, well, thank you so much for the raid. Hey, all you new people, because they were coming from their channel. And then I'll do the exact same thing and go back to their channel or to someone else's. And it's just kind of, people who are watching will just hop between channels, and they might leave Twitch open all day long as they're checking out different channels throughout a day even.
I'm glad that we slowly drifted towards the tools. So what is Twitch? How does it work?
Yeah. And so Twitch is the platform that you will find a lot of streamers using. Some people do use YouTube Live, but those are definitely the most prominent ones. I rarely see people use any of the other ones. There was another one that I'm forgetting the name of it now that Microsoft shut down recently. And so I think most people went either to Twitch or to YouTube after that. And then I know some people, they do stream from Instagram Live or TikTok Live and stuff, but that is kind of a different style of streaming and you won't see coding as often or anything like that. And so
just,
anyway.
Imagined coding in Instagram stories, and that's not a good channel.
It's not exactly a good format for that. Yeah. And so anyway, although it would be interesting to be the only one coding on Instagram Live, there's a free idea for anyone out there. But anyway, yeah. So on Twitch, again, I'm going to talk about Twitch because that's where I have the most experience. You make an account and you say, okay, here's my channel. And once again, you can add whatever links you want. And whenever you go live, it shows up on Twitch. And going live, it involves a tool on your local computer. It's a desktop application almost regularly, unless you use some kind of app like StreamYard or something where it's in your browser, you'll use something like OBS, which is, I think, Open Broadcasting Studio, or Streamlabs OBS is what I use. Twitch Studio is an app that Twitch put together. There's a lot of options. And in these tools, you kind of put in your stream key, which is, it's kind of like a handshake where your account on Twitch will connect with your desktop app via this key. And so you get your key and you put it in the app. And then once you hit start streaming, it's a go and that's it. But what's cool about it is you can really be a producer of this stream where yes, you can just have it be your camera, but you can add different aspects of the chat, different little fun interactions to the actual page. And so I mentioned my teammate's Stream Learn with Jason earlier. He made an entire open source software called Socket Studio, where it has chat interactions, where if the chat says a certain word or sends a certain emoticon, it'll send like silly emojis or running corgis across the screen. And so it'll be a fun little interaction. Or if you redeem a certain number of points on his stream, that'll add certain sound effects. And so you can actually get pretty interactive with it and run polls during it, where you could be just like, okay, chat, start voting on this. Or, okay, we're going to have you interact here, here, and here. It's very neat. And it's really just how much you want to put into it, how much interaction you want to enable in your streams.
That sounds exciting, but not everybody who starts streaming is going to be having an active audience. Yeah. Most likely, you will be just staring in the screen. There will be like 1, 2, 0 people, right, when you start, or
right? Yeah, you might be able to tweet about it and get up to 10. Yeah, and so, first of all, on Twitch itself, once again, there's the whole rating mechanism, where as you are streaming and stuff, and there you might only have like 5 viewers at a time, at the end of your stream, you can start rating other channels. And then these channels will start to notice you, be like, oh, thank you for the raid. Someday that channel might be rating you and you'll suddenly have 30 people watching, or 50, or even more than that. Or I actually know some people where their streams got popular because other people rated them. And so that's kind of the community that happens within Twitch, and that kind of interaction. But then also there is an element of if you build it, they will come, sort of with streaming, where if you have enough streams that have a lot of good content, discoverability on Twitch is fairly decent, where if you are doing some good work, someone might be stopping into your stream to be like, is this interesting? Oh, okay, I'll stick around, or they'll leave. And so you'll get some organic findings. But beyond that, it really is a matter of just kind of doing your best to put out somewhat decent content and then sharing it with people who might know, and trying to get folks to follow you. It's something that for myself, at first I was kind of just experimenting with it. You don't have to have a fancy lighting setup or a fancy camera or anything to get started. A lot of people try to kind of boost up their setup unnecessarily at the beginning. Start small, just have your camera and get a little bit comfortable with it and work yourself up from there. And then I think something that is particularly helpful too is just having guests on your stream as well, where I think a lot of my initial followers from my stream when it was more regular was because I am friendly with the React team, the library React, and I said, well, hey, you all haven't interacted with the community once in a while. How about you come onto my live stream and we'll just work together and I'll ask you some questions. And they said, oh yeah, that would be a good idea. And I think that was the most viewers I've ever had, even to this day. But it got a lot of followers my way because people were wanting to interact with the React team. And I've seen that happen with quite a few other streams too, and companies as well, where founders will say, hey, I'm going to have this person on my stream and we'll work on our product to get together so that way we can see it. Or I'll see people who want to be content creators, but they're not sure what kind of space they want to be in. They'll just bring different people onto their stream and they'll interact and see what kind of sticks. And you never know what will stick, where for myself, I thought it was going to be much more coding heavy. And it turns out the actually hanging out and answering people's questions ended up sticking a bit more for me. And so it can really vary depending on what you get comfortable with and what you practice.
Having guests is amazing for promotion, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. but also solves this problem of like speaking into black box and having no feedback. Like I cannot do solo training sessions. I tried and I felt miserable. Like I failed really bad. It was in like 2016 when I tried to teach people design. I felt so bad not having somebody to talk to. Like there is no interaction. You just like, you're not even sure if the signal goes through. You know, maybe you are talking to something that's already offline.
I've done that too, where I'm teaching a workshop and I'm just like, is anyone out there? Does anybody have questions? And I'll get like a single wave emoji. I'm like, okay, well, they're there. I just keep going. But yeah, what's cool about Twitch though is that like the chat is pretty active. And if you interact with them, they'll really interact with you. And it's kind of fun where on my channel, I typically have a somewhat decent number of people where the chat is always going. And I can pretty much always just, if I don't know what to say, I'll just kind of read people's messages and be like, huh, that was funny, Teddy, or something like that to whoever might be chatting in there. And people like to feel acknowledged, and it really does build a community. And it feels like you're chatting with people in real time. And then if it gets quiet, I can be like, all right, well, it seems like you all are tired and I am too. I'm going to go to the next one. Who are we going to raid next? And we just go that way.
So it's, yeah, raiding basically is like a fun part of closing up your show. Like you decide what to, okay, that's great.
Yeah. And I'm able to be just like, does anybody want me to raid someone specifically? And then they can say, oh, this is my favorite creator and they're live right now. And so I can do that and listen to the chat. Or if nobody has suggestions, I'll be like, well, this person's going to space, so I'm going to do that or something like that.
What are some other tips? Like you mentioned, well, for balancing the chat and interaction with something that you set out to do, like discuss something or build something live, how do you balance without a like moderator, co-pilot?
That can be difficult because I know some people where they basically ignore the chat entirely because they know what they want to say. And they just want to get their thoughts across. And then for me, I really like the chat because it gives me something to build off of where I'm just like, oh yeah, that's a great point. Let me dive into that. And it can, the chat guides my conversation. For some people, the chat is more just like an aside to the conversation. It really can depend on what you're comfortable with, I think. And I know, like, for example, if I'm telling a story or if I'm trying to make a point about something more serious, I'll ignore the chat for a second and just like look into the camera and be just like, okay, here's something important that you need to know, blah, 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 or something that you need to hear. And I'll go in that direction. But that balance, it's really determined by how comfortable you are with it, where I personally always keep an eye on the chat because you never know if sometimes you'll need to moderate the chat a little bit, or sometimes you might need to change something up or make a clarification. And then, yeah, once again, plenty of people are just like, you know, the chat is just kind of a thing that happens. I'm here to make a video that I want to put on YouTube later, and I'm mostly just recording it live. And so that's, I think, the thing that you have to decide for yourself.
In terms of energy, does it recharge you or does it deplete your energy? Do you do this in the mornings or at nights?
I typically do it in the afternoons, in like the early afternoons, a little bit after lunchtime. And in a way, it energizes me because I get to interact with the community. And especially in pandemic times, I used to go to meetups and stuff all the time. And I loved being able to interact with developers there. And I'm actually a fairly introverted person, but I love being able to talk tech with people. But you can't really do that when there's a global pandemic and everybody needs to be indoors. And so the chat, it's kind of filled that hole for me where I can finally interact with other developers and stuff. And so in that way, it energizes me. Sometimes if the chat is particularly heavy or we hit a certain number of topics and stuff, it can be exhausting. And typically after my stream, whether it energizes me or exhausts me, I'm pretty quiet for the rest of the day. I don't talk too much after that. And then I'm kind of like, okay, I've had my interactions for the day. I'm going to watch some Netflix or something like that.
Do you have a regular schedule or do you stream when you're feeling so?
I typically always stream on Thursday afternoons and then sometimes more depending on the situation. Because there might be some times where I'm playing a video game, I'm like, you know what? People might enjoy this if I stream this. And so I'll throw up an extra stream throughout the week. But typically Thursdays are my day of the week to stream. And as we record it, actually, this is my 1 month break from streaming that I've decided. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. This is a little wild because I normally don't take breaks on it, but it's a vacation and I'm excited.
You do feel like consistency is one of the secret ingredients to
I really
success
do.
There.
I think it is for any sort of content you make. If you're consistent with it, then that's people know what to expect. People don't want to be surprised by content that you make unless it's a good surprise. But even then, that varies. If people know what to expect, they are more likely to follow, interact, be a part of it. And so I always say, okay, Thursdays, that's my day to stream. Sundays, that's my day to send out my newsletter. That sort of thing. Other things, it can kind of vary. My tweet schedule does not exist. But I do think for certain types of content, a schedule is good, and streaming is one of those types of content.
If you compare yourself to Cassidy 5 years ago, who just started streaming, like what skills did you master? Where do you get better at with practice?
I think kind of just more improvisational speaking in general. Where, granted, not only do I speak a lot more now, but I also, in my role before my current one, I was teaching full-time, and so that involved a lot
that
more.
That might have helped.
Speaking. Yeah, that helped a lot. And so I think just kind of being able to go with the flow and change course is something that I've improved a lot with speaking. And I'm convinced that most Twitch creators would be very, very good comedians because they have to be kind of quick on their feet to react with how the chat is reacting or have a rebuttal or something like that for any particular statements that might happen. Yeah, I think it's really just been, I think I'm better at speaking purely out of practice, and I'm better at changing topics if necessary.
If you compare this to streaming to a typical webinar, what's the difference in dynamics? Because I guess you have both in your life.
Yeah, and I think this is where it varies on the streamer, because, for example, because I interact with the chat so much, a webinar is incredibly different for me because there is no chat. It's me just giving the information that I need to give. Meanwhile, like someone else I know who's a streamer that doesn't interact with the chat at all, webinars are basically his stream. That's it. And so it can really depend. But yeah, like webinars, it's a set thing that you are teaching, and you might have questions at the end, but that's about it. And I'm so comfortable with the streaming aspect now that I admit whenever I do have webinars, I'm like, hey, make sure you're active in the chat, ask questions, make comments, because I will be reading it. And if you end up liking something or another, I can change it. And that's kind of made my webinars much more interactive as well, because people are like, oh, this is for me. It's not just something that I can watch later on YouTube that anybody can listen to. This is tailored for me. And I think people like that experience more.
We've kind of touched on the equipment a little bit in that regard. The equipment does not matter that much, but still, right. Could you share, you know, maybe different options of what setup is required, like what the lights are, what the camera is that would produce a good picture? Because like I'm looking at you right now, it's a brilliant picture.
I'm not even using my fancy stuff yet.
Oh, it's not even fancy. Okay. But yeah, the tech tips and also tips on your background personally from you. I know there's stuff online, but I would love to hear yours.
Right. And so once again, this stuff does not matter to get started. My setup definitely upgraded a lot over time, where when I was initially doing a setup, I basically just had a webcam and a dream and went from there. And so I'll talk about my setup now and kind of how I upgraded it over time. So my current setup is I have a Shure MV7 microphone. And this is a microphone that I use for podcasts, a microphone that I use for streaming. And before this microphone, I had a Blue Yeti microphone. And that microphone I had for probably forever. I loved the Blue Yeti microphone and used that a bunch. But that's the one that you're using. It's a good microphone. So anyway, this is the one that I have, and I'm really happy with it so far. And then for my camera, I have my actual webcam that I use for most calls, and it's just a Logitech webcam. And I've had this one forever. It's actually a very typical webcam. But then for my stream, I actually have a full DSLR camera. and it is a Sony A6100, and I've got some lens on it that I got on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or something, where it's just a little bit higher quality, where it feels like it's a more professional program of some kind, and probably didn't need that camera, but I liked that one. And so I definitely use the webcam for most things, but for the stream, I tend to use the nicer camera. And sometimes if I'm doing a stream where I'm building a keyboard, for example, I'll have the two cameras where the main nice DSLR camera is focused on me, and then the webcam is focused on what I'm building or something like that. And then for lighting, I have two key lights. And so they're Elgato key lights, where there's one on the left, one on the right, and you're supposed to have like one is kind of pointed at you, one is kind of ambient. I just watched a bunch of YouTube videos to figure out what kind of lighting I should have and went with that. As for background, it can kind of vary. I like having a fun background full of all of my trinkets and stuff. Some people might argue that you need to have kind of a plain background that doesn't distract from you as the focus. I'm very okay if people are distracted, and then I can say like, yeah, that's a Lego Bugatti behind me. I built that. Also, I have Pokemon things and that sort of thing. I think that it definitely varies from creator to creator for sure.
My co-founder Benedict has some fun Lego in his background.
Nice. Yeah.
it's always fun to watch.
It's so fun. Yeah. Well, especially I like seeing people who have Legos because it changes over time as they build more things. And I love being able to kind of show off some of the fun stuff behind me. And so I definitely do not have a non-distracting background.
If somebody wanted to start like today, well, I think actually one of the things that makes it easier is that you don't have to do post-production that much.
Yes.
Is there any post-production? Okay.
That's it. That's the best part. And that's why I don't really, like, people have said, oh, you should make YouTube videos and stuff because you like streaming. No, because when you're streaming, you can just like, if you mess up a sentence here or there, you can just correct yourself and then move on. And you just finish the stream and you're done. If you're recording a YouTube video, you have to edit it so much. And then you have to take, okay, I don't like this part of it. I'm taking this section out. I'm editing this and that. I'm going to add like the front and the back, like starting soon screen or thanks till next time type of screen. You don't have to do that when you stream. Once you're done, it's just done, and it's the best. And that is by far my favorite part.
So going back to the original question, what if somebody wanted to start? Like, what is the MVP? They come there and there is like one person, but they still do it like for right. a month, for a year, when is it time to get desperate?
Yeah. So first of all, what you need from the beginning is your streaming software, which once again, OBS, Streamlabs OBS, Twitch Studio, something like that, and a webcam. That's all you need to do to start. And then figure out what type of content you want to put out there. It's helpful to have a general theme, but it's okay to kind of figure out what you want that theme to be over time. And after that, you start making content, figure out what you're more comfortable with. Once you have figured out, okay, this is what I'm comfortable with, this is what I want to put out there, and you still only have like one viewer, first of all, you probably won't. People will probably start coming more and more because that's just kind of the nature of the beast. That's when you just start promoting it more, where you tweet it out, post it in different places, and then you can also say, make sure you follow so that way you can get a notification whenever I go live. And you can add different things to kind of put your name out there and to get your stream in front of more eyes. But once again, if you are consistent with your schedule and your theme, the people do come. It's a very real thing where it's you don't necessarily live in a bubble with how Twitch and streaming works in general because of the rating mechanisms, because of how they do discoverability, and because of how it kind of rewards that sort of consistency.
I would say it's not the same with podcasts, for example, because it just gets straight to the bottom of iTunes or whatever the app is called these days and yeah. like dies there. So there is hope. I'm really glad
Yeah. Well, and also once you are done, let's just say you do want to add post-production stuff, you can. Where one friend of mine, he consistently does streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he has a somewhat decent following, but probably like 25 people show up per stream, which isn't a ton, but it's a decent amount. But then what he does is at the ends of the streams, he exports that video to YouTube and he might add some editing here and there. But then he has two content streams where it's both the live stream and the YouTube. And his YouTube ends up having more followers just because people like the recordings, but then people end up coming to his streams because they want to be a part of the YouTube video that's ultimately posted. And so there's a real community aspect of it. And once again, consistency is really key.
Do you export and save yours? Or
sometimes.
Do they go?
Yeah, I usually export them if it's something particularly useful, mostly coding related. And so, for example, one that I exported was when GitHub Copilot first came out. I kind of was just doing my regular stream. I was just like, oh, yeah, I got access to that. Do y'all want to see how it works? And we're just like, yeah, sure. And so I was playing with it for the first time and really trying to test what GitHub Copilot could do. And at the end, I was like, okay, people seem to like it. Yeah, I'll export that to YouTube. And I just kind of did and didn't think anything of it. And ever since, like even as recently as yesterday, and it's been a few months, I get people asking me about that video. And so I do think it's worth having the double content streams and putting it to other places.
I have some inspiring ideas lurking in my head now for that's not going to say it loud. But when the Clubhouse came around, this is a like detour, but do you feel
like a live audio?
Yeah. What's your sentiment? And, you know, quickly like came and quickly went away.
Yeah. And Twitter spaces and stuff. Honestly, I didn't really enjoy the concept as much. I guess it's kind of cool to be able to drop in and chat with whoever might be chatting and ask questions of people you think are cool. And I did participate in a couple Clubhouse chats and Twitter spaces chats, but it feels not the same. And the biggest thing for me, that actually the most huge thing for me is that they limit it by platform, where I can't listen to it or I can't interact with it via my desktop computer, which is totally fine, but because people use different devices and stuff. But because it was attached to my phone, sometimes I want to be at my computer and be doing various things, but I have to be tethered to my phone if I'm going to be a part of a Twitter Spaces chat or a Clubhouse chat. If they had connected it to computers, I probably sound like such an old person by saying like, I just want to be here instead of on the go. But if they had connected it to computers initially, and not just via the iOS apps, because it was iOS first before Android, I feel like they would be much more successful. Personally, I would have been much more into that as a concept, because you have so much more flexibility when it's not attached to your phone. Like if it were something where it was like live streaming to Twitch or to YouTube Live or something, I could do so much with it where it's not just on my phone into my phone microphone. I could have some kind of fun soundboard going through my computer and be able to make like a trumpet noise or something silly. Or I could be just like, hey, I see this number of people in the chat. If you go here, here, and here and have them interact in certain ways, it feels like the way Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces were built, it kind of had the conversations first rather than the interactivity first. And I think that's where they didn't stick around to be as popular. And granted, they still are around, but I don't think it was as sticky because of that.
Also felt not fair to me that you couldn't bring your audience there. Like you had Social Capsule on Twitter, now you're a Clubhouse and you're a nobody. That's like not nice, you know?
I understand the hype, the initial hype, but I also understand why it was just hype and it kind of stopped after that.
Who is the typical audience who likes to consume live streams? If you can, you know, generalize there. Of course, it's like, yeah, could be like people who knit or embroider or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so hard to generalize because there's so many different kinds of streams.
Let's like narrow it down.
Okay, narrow it down. People who like to watch streams in IT, in tech in general. Oh man, it's it's not experience level, because there's people both new to coding who barely know how to write a single line to people who have been in the industry for decades. And it's not necessarily just like front-end developers, back-end developers, game developers, DevOps people, because I see that whole category too. I think a lot of the audience are people who are looking to build community. And I think that's the closest I can make to a generalization, because it really does take all kinds. Some people just want to watch quietly and have something to watch that it's techy, but they don't feel like turning on a YouTube video. And so they're like, let this other person curate it for me, I guess. But a lot of the people who I have seen on these in these chats of when I've been in the chat for other people's streams, they're interacting with people, getting to know each other, and then kind of just wanting to support each other in some way, whether they're supporting the streamer or they're chatting with people in the chat as well.
Probably one last question to you. You really are good at marketing, because you not only do the live streams, you also run an email list and you have a pretty awesome website. Oh, between your live stream audience and the email list, the newsletter that you do on Sundays, as you said, who comes from where? Like, do they intersect, overlap? Do they cross-pollinate?
they do cross-pollinate, and I'm grateful to have an audience at all. And I appreciate you saying that, because I feel like I'm kind of just making stuff because it's fun and people happen to show up. I'm just like, oh, that's great. I'm glad. And that's pretty much it. I feel like some people do come from the newsletter to Twitch, because I'll occasionally link it. And similarly, some people go from Twitch to the newsletter because I'll link it. And some people, they're on my Twitch and then they're like, after a half hour, we'll say, wait, I know where I know you from. You're that girl who makes TikToks on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you figured that out. And so I'm not entirely sure how the interactivity and the cross-pollination happens. It just kind of does. And I think it might just be the result of me putting out a lot, and some things stick differently with different people.
There's the sentiment of owning your own platform. And if you look at that, email list, website, and podcast RSS are like native channels when you truly own the technology. Yeah. So live streaming does not exactly, it's right. Owned by Twitch, right?
It is.
It's not exactly safe.
Right. Yeah. I definitely considered at one point, I was like, what if I built my own streaming channel? Because there are technologies to do that. Like if I wanted to enable Mux and like stream through Mux to my own live streaming site, I totally could. But then you don't have the discoverability aspect, the community aspect, the rating aspect, things like that. And I think because the community building aspect is the biggest draw for me and for a lot of the people around, I'd rather have that than be able to own the content. It's okay with me personally to have Twitch own the content, because, or at least partially, I don't know how, you know, the legal aspects of it work, but yeah, like I think there's a difference between audience and community. And with a community, people are interacting with me, people are interacting with each other. It's a back and forth. It's a sharing thing. And with an audience, it's people basically just consuming what I say. And if I wanted to just build an audience of people listening to me, and that's pretty much it, building my own streaming site might be a good idea, because then it's my content, people can listen to me, and that's it. But there's no chatting or interactivity or communication beyond that. And then if I were to go away, the audience is gone, they disappear, that was it. But with community, if I'm streaming and interacting with them and encouraging people to interact with each other and that sort of thing, then if I were to ever go away, that community is still there and they're still able to interact with each other and those relationships have still been made.
That is such an important difference. Thanks for highlighting it. Oh. Well, Cassidy, really enjoyed today's conversation. Thanks for really giving us a deep dive into this unknown ecosystem of live streaming. That was fascinating. Where can people find what you do online?
Yeah, so you can find me at Cassidoo, C-A-S-S-I-D-O-O, on most things, Twitter, Twitch, GitHub, the works. And then I have a newsletter, cassidoo.co/newsletter. And so cassidoo.co is my website, and then cassidoo.co/newsletter is where you can find my weekly newsletter, where I'll share web links of the week, a joke, an interview question of the week, and try to make it kind of a fun thing for you to read every week in your inbox. And if all else fails, you can Google Cassidy Williams. There's myself and a Scooby-Doo character, and I'm not the Scooby-Doo character.
Amazing. Thanks so much once again, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found the episode useful, please spread the word about this new show on Twitter, mentioning UserList, or leave us a review on iTunes.